And that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. May Allah peace and prayers be shed upon him. And be shed upon Prophet Jesus and all the Prophets of Allah who came to deliver the message of Allah. We bear witness that they are all true Prophets of Allah, came to teach the true guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, inshallah, we'll start a new series of topics, which is called Towards Understanding of the Holy Quran. And in order to set a strategy of understanding the Holy Quran, we need to look, first of all, what is the Holy Quran? Of course, you know, there are so much to say about what is the Holy Quran. But the most important definition of the Holy Quran is that it is a book of guidance. It is a book of Allah, it is a book of guidance. The word guidance will lead us into the right strategy of understanding the Quran. Guidance means is to find the way. Guidance, the purpose of a map is guidance. It's to guide us when we are making a journey from one place to another. When we have a destination that we're heading for, we need a roadmap to show us the way. Because there are so many intersections. You enter the freeway, there are so many exits, there are so many branches. And during, you know, every time you encounter an intersection, an exit, and a branching of the road, you need to make a decision right there and right then. Do you want to go right or do you want to go left? Do you want to go straight or do you want to make a U-turn and go back? Do you want to exit off the freeway or do you want to enter the freeway? During that time, if you make the wrong decision, just one wrong turn might mislead you and misguide you for a very long time before you are able to find the correct path again. And you might be able to find the correct path and you might not be able to find the correct path. And this is the Holy Quran. Because we run into crossroads, because we run into branchings and intersections, we need the Holy Quran to guide us into making the right decisions so that we don't make the right turn, the wrong turn, and exit from the straight path. And then we need also to know how can we perform the tawbah, the repentance, which is an entrance to the straight path. If we happen to exit by mistake, we have tawbah so that we can enter back into the freeway of straight path. Looking at the Quran as a roadmap, we can draw an analogy of understanding the roadmaps towards understanding the Holy Quran. First of all, there are two things that are very important about maps. Number one, the first concept is a concept called abstraction of details. Abstractions of detail is the way where you look at the overall picture from a very high place, you look at the overall map from a very high place, and you don't want to look at the details. You just want to look at the global view of the map. And a very good example of that, if you go onto the Google.Earth, and you go onto Google Earth, and you view the entire Earth from the satellite, you see in the image of the Earth, you see the map of the Earth with only the main features. Of course, the details are totally hidden, because these details, if the brain, the human brain can't handle all these details as such, that many details. So we have, if we want to look at the map of the entire Earth, we have to abstract the details or hide the details. And if we want to look at more details, we zoom down. By zooming down, we decrease the area that we're looking at, but we will be able to see more details. And by zooming down in and in and in, we can get to see more and more and more details. To the level that you can see the Kaaba from the satellite by zooming on Mecca and then zooming on the Kaaba. If we have enough resolution, we can zoom in and see a microscopic view of an ant on the Earth. But of course, we don't have that much resolution as of today. But that is theoretically, you should be able to zoom in until you reach to the level of atomic detail. From but when you reach to the level of atomic detail, all what you can see, just very few atoms, which is a very small area. The Quran can be understood in a similar way. By looking at the Quran as a whole, and then you abstract lots of the details inside, and then by looking at every surah, as a whole and abstract the details inside the surah. And then by looking at every section inside the surah as a whole, and then by looking at every ayah, and then by looking at every word, and some people have gone to the extent of studying letters, by going into letters. And one of the researches that I've heard, that they were trying to make the numerical values of the letters, assigning a numerical value for every letter and coming up with the numerical evaluation of the words of the Quran and the ayat. This is one of the new research that some people are doing right now. But the bottom line here is that there are levels of abstraction. And the second concept that we also can use to develop a strategy towards understanding Quran, we can borrow the concept of different views. You can look at the same exact map from the same exact high elevation and see different views. There is a map that shows the ways, there's a map that shows political boundaries, the, you know, contours, natural features, and all of that. Different views of the same exact map. And the Quran can also be looked at from two different views of the human life. And indeed, we can seek guidance, and this is one of the secrets of miracles of the Quran, that it doesn't matter which view you are looking at the Quran from, you always can see beautiful, strong, robust, perfect guidance that you can follow, and it will protect you in this life and in the hereafter. By keeping these two things in mind, we can see that we can approach the Quran and look. The first thing we want to look at the Quran, we want to look at the Quran as a whole. Now, the Quran is the book of Allah. That's the most powerful definition of the Quran, that it is the book of Allah, Kitabullah. And by looking at this definition, we can see a beautiful view of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has two kinds of books. Allah has a written book and Allah has a created book. The written book is read only by believers. Believers of Islam open the Quran and read the text in the Quran, which is the written book. But the created book can be seen by every human being who lives on the face of the earth. This human being can clearly see and examine the created book, which is the book of the universe around us, the book of the intelligent design. If you see a car, the car is an intelligent design. There has to be an intelligent engineer who designed the intelligent car. You can't say that the car doesn't have an engineer. And so forth. You go to the museum, you see a beautiful picture, a beautiful sculpture, and you are so impressed about the artist who painted that picture. And you're so impressed about the artist who carved this sculpture, but you're not as impressed about the creative Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who did not paint with colors the picture on paper using cheap paint on a cheap paper, but he did create the actual scenic view in reality. He did create the actual tree in reality, where it has so many miracles, a functioning tree that's giving fruits and surviving. We are so impressed about the artist who paints a picture, but we are not as impressed about the supreme artist, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Supreme artist is one of the names of Allah, which is Badi'u Samawati wal Ard. The Badi'u, the supreme creative artist, is Badi'u, one of the names of Allah, because he is indeed the Badi'u. And to show you how important is the second book of Allah, which is not the written book, which is the Quran, but the created book, let me ask you a question. If one comes to you and says that there was a boat that leaves India and arrived at New York, and it left India and arrived at New York all by itself, without any remote control navigation, without any crew or a captain, or anybody controlling it, then you would say, wait a minute, that is impossible. What if I even go further and tell you that this ship has left this ship had left the India, the shores of India, at the exact appointed time with the millisecond, and has arrived to New York in the exact appointed time with the accuracy of milliseconds? Then you will tell me, get out of here, this is impossible to happen. What if I tell you that the earth, that the moon or the sun is coming at the exact appointed time and is being navigated in the huge big space? The moon rotates around itself and then rotates around the earth,
And the earth and the moon rotate around the sun. And the earth and the moon, the sun are rotating around the universe. And the entire universe is rotating around itself in such a complicated way. Very complicated back. And yet, the sun is arriving at the exact appointed time. And we, mashallah, we receive a schedule every month of the exact appointed time of the sunrise and the exact appointed time of the sunset. And the sun will never be 1 second late or 1 second early. Now, which one is harder to navigate? The sun, which is a huge big planet, 1 million times bigger than the earth, or a ship, or a simple ship? Just use common sense. Of course, a simple ship is easier to navigate. Then if you find it impossible to accept that a ship will navigate itself from India to New York, departing at the same, at the precise time, arriving at the precise time, then how can you accept that the sun navigates itself through the universe, departing at the and showing up on earth on the right time and exactly calculated appointed time and leaving the views of the earth at the exact appointed time? How can you do that? The best airline on this planet, United Airlines, American Airlines, cannot adjust their schedule to match the schedule of the sun. The airlines have to be either 5 minutes late or 5 minutes early, but the sun is never. Okay, now can you say this intelligent design is without a navigator, is without a creator? No. And this is the whole concept behind the second book, which is the created book of Allah. So we have the written book, which is the Quran, and the second book, which is the created book of Allah. Now why do we need to keep this in mind? Because in the written book of Allah, there is tremendous amount of text giving our attention and pointing to the created book of Allah. Pointed to the miracles of the human body. Pointed to the miracles of the universe. Pointed to all directions to show, look, Allah has created this. Look how Allah is sending the rain. Look how Allah is navigating this, the sun. Look at how Allah, وَالشَّمْسُ تَجْرِي لِمُسْتَقَرِّ اللَّهَ ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ وَالْقَمَرَ قَدَّرْنَاهُ مَنَازِلَ حَتَّى عَادَ كَالْعُرْجُونِ الْقَدِيمِ لَالشَّمْسُ يَنْبَغِي لَهَا أَن تُدْرِكَ الْقَمَرَ وَلَا اللَّيْلُ سَابِقُ النَّهَارِ وَكُلٌّ فِي فَلَكٍ يَسْبَحُونَ. And Allah is quoting these phenomena, natural phenomena, and Allah is calling them ayah. Allah is saying, وَآيَةٌ لَهُمُ الْأَرْضُ الْمَيْتَةُ وَآيَةٌ لَهُمُ اللَّيْلُ نَسْلَخُ مِنْهُ النَّهَارِ. It is ayah for them, the dead land, we are reviving it and making it green. It is ayah for them, the night being slowly emerging out of the day, and the day slowly emerging out of the light, out of the night. If we go to the switch light, the light switch, and we turn it on and off, we see sudden on and sudden on, sudden light, sudden darkness. But look how Allah is emerging in a gradual way. يُولِجُ اللَّيْلَ فِي النَّهَارِ وَيُولِجُ النَّهَارَ فِي اللَّيْلِ. Slowly and gradually, in a beautiful, miraculous way, the night is coming out of the day, and the day is coming out of the night. Not like a switch light on and off, which is very human. It is the creation of Allah. And Allah over the Quran, وَآيَةٌ لَهُمْ وَآيَةٌ لَهُمْ. And Allah is calling all of these created natural things, Allah is calling them ayah, which is ayah. We have ayah in the Quran, which is a verse in the Quran, and we have ayah in the universe, which is a phenomena or a feature or a miracle. Of course, we don't see it as a miracle because we're so used to it, but it is indeed a miracle. You know, they have tried to duplicate the living cell. And they brought, of course, you know, by me explaining this to you, I will be like the Eskimo coming to sell, I'll be like the desert man who's coming to sell ice to the Eskimo. But of course you can relate to these things better than me, where they did put together all the material in the living cell, exactly to match the material in the living cell, but the cell that they have made up, the artificial cell, is not alive, and the living cell is alive. And they have reached to a conclusion that the secret of life is totally unknown. It's not about material. They can duplicate the material exactly. But there is a secret of life beyond comprehension, beyond the materialistic understanding, beyond this physical universe, and they can't find out what is that secret of life. And Allah has challenged them at the end of Surah Al-Hajj. Ya ayyuha an-nasu duriba mathalun fastami'u la. O you humankind, I'm giving you an example. Listen to it. Inna alladhina tad'una min dunillahi, those false deities and gods that are, you are submissive to, including your temptations, those false deities and gods that you are submissive to, instead of Allah, لَمْ يَخْلُقُوا ذُبَابًا وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا لَهُ. They will not be able to create a fly, even if they gather all of the knowledge and power and technology together, and even gather the power of the jinn kind. Together they will not be able to create a fly. And Allah went further and said, وَإِن يَسْلُبْهُمُ الذُّبَابُ شَيْئًا لَا يَسْتَنْقِذُوهُ مِنْهُ. When the fly eats, takes away from the food, they cannot retrieve that part that the fly took away from the food. And modern science tells us that before the fly eats the food, it does spit on it some kind of enzymes to dissolve it into simpler components so that it can absorb it and eat it and digest it. And once the food is broken into these simple components, there is absolutely no way you can bring it back into its natural form, which is another scientific miracle of the Holy Quran. But the bottom line is that Allah has two created books. Quran is what? Quran is the book of Allah. How many kinds of books of Allah we have? We have two kinds. One is the scripture or the written book, and the other one is the created book. The written book is read only by believers. The created book, it's an evidence against all mankind, because every human being can read the created book. And it is a verse, it is a testimony, it is an evidence against every human being who denies the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, we will continue this series, which is towards understanding of the Quran. And we will start from a highly abstracted view and keep zooming down, down, down in every surah, every ayah, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us a reasonable understanding of the Quran. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. إني داعٍ أقول آمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام.